All right, thank you. Just want to honor Les for keeping his teaching for under 5 minutes. He wasn't here last week, so he had a little bit of a bug he had to get out, you know. And that's his gift. That's his calling. He is a teacher. And we saw, and what was awesome, and I know that we broke already, and it seems like a different portion or a different segment of the service. But I want to keep that mentality that what we witnessed here this morning during worship was the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through the gifts. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning, the gifts of God and the anointing of God. Last week, we talked about the calling, and this is kind of, honestly, this morning, and I'm sorry, but it's kind of like two messages, and so I'm trying to cram them into one, but I'm going to focus on the gifts part, and we'll get to the anointing at the end, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But last week, if you remember, when we talked about the calling of God on our life, and remember, I defined it like this. It was just God's unique purpose and direction for you specifically. You guys remember that we all have a calling that we're all called to, right, as Christians and believers. When the scripture says that Jesus calls us out of darkness and into light, and he calls us to selflessly love and give to one another, those are all callings that we all share and are bound to as believers. But there is a special, unique purpose and design that God has placed on your life, okay? And so I hope this week you've begun to start asking yourself those questions. Hopefully it started last Sunday, but throughout the week asking yourself those kind of questions like, why am I here? Like, what is my purpose? Why did God put me on this earth? How do I serve him? How do I serve others? What is my role at the journey? Right? What is my role in spiritual community? Hopefully those are some of the questions that you began to ask yourself this week. And if not, I just encourage you to start doing that, because the longer we keep ourselves busy with anything other than pursuing and walking in that calling, the more and more miserable our life becomes. Okay? The longer we keep busy with other things, other than pursuing and walking in the calling that God has on your life, the more miserable our life becomes, because you're running away from what you were designed to do. You're running away from the reason God puts you on this earth. And so if you're feeling bogged down, and if you're feeling, you know, depressed, sometimes we get to feeling like we're being used and abused at our work, in our homes, in our schools, or in our relationships or something. Maybe that is something you need to take a look at. Maybe it's something that, you know what, I have neglected pursuing my calling, finding out what that is, and rearranging my life and prioritizing that. Because pursuing any other path other than that will lead you to an empty sense of fulfillment. It will lead you to a superficial happiness that won't last. And we've all been down those roads before, right, where we try to substitute the thing that God has for us with something that man or the world has to satisfy us. And we all know that it just doesn't last, right? And so not only does it give us a chance to find out why we're here, not only does it give us a chance to start walking in the things that God's called us to, but ultimately it is the way that God will change this world. Ultimately, it is the way that God is going to reach and impact and influence this world for the cause of Christ. It is finding your calling, and it's exactly what he's going to use to spread the gospel to every corner of the earth. And it hinges on us asking that question, why am I here? What am I meant to do with my life? Okay? And we talked about Abraham, and we read the story about how he was called out of the land of Ur, you know, a small land in Mesopotamia in between two rivers. But we also learned that his father and his brothers were also called out of Ur, but they ended up in a town called Haran. And they didn't make it all the way to Canaan. But Abraham listened to the voice of God and was able to travel the full distance. And so what we're called to do is to surrender our will to him, to be willing to go all the way, to do whatever it takes, to listen to his voice no matter what the circumstances are. And what was special about Abraham and what I said, and I failed to mention that, you know, that the author of Hebrews comments thousands of years later, recognizing that Abraham left And he didn't know exactly where he was going. The point was is that he surrendered to the call of God on his life, not knowing what the destination was, not having all of the instructions or the route or how to go about it, but he knew that fully relying on God's direction and guidance and his wisdom and the Holy Spirit, that he would get to where he needed to go, that God would see him through. And that's what we need to do, is so we need to make that decision to go, even when we don't know all the details. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And we're going to be in there for a little bit. Now we're going to start talking about the gifts of God. Now this was, this whole thing, I don't know if I shared with you last week, but I had prepared something way different to talk about these couple of Sundays. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit started prompting me, you need to talk about calling and gifts. And which was, if I'm going to be transparent, was something I really didn't know a whole lot about, because for so long, I had been neglecting acknowledging the gifts that God placed in me, okay, and pursuing my calling, that I just wasn't familiar with how it worked. And a lot of times, for a lot of believers, we say the sinner's prayer, and we know that God loves us, and we know God has promises for us, but we neglect those steps that we need to take afterwards, okay? So I'm going to start in verse 1 here, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And this is why we're going to talk about it, because Paul points out to the church, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant." Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. The Lord does not want you in the dark. The Lord doesn't want you guessing what those gifts could be. The Lord doesn't want you, he doesn't want you blinded to it. You know, and ignorant, sometimes it's a harsh word now when you call a person ignorant, but it's just another word for not knowing. He wants you to know. He wants you to have that knowledge. He wants to impart that to you so that we understand. And that's our responsibility here. So what are the gifts? Now, the gifts of God are given to help fulfill the calling that he's placed on your life. Okay? The gifts of God are given to help us fulfill the calling that he's placed on our life. Now, we're going to talk about some of the gifts that are very apparent, that we can see played out. And, you know, we saw some of those gifts being kind of displayed and exercised this morning. The Lord placed some words into Les's heart, and because he has a gift of discernment, because he's able to listen to the Holy Spirit, he took a step of faith, knowing that he has a gift to do that, and he put it out there, okay? So we saw that gift being exercised. It's a gift that Les displayed here, but God actually moved through, okay? And we'll talk a little bit about how that works in a little bit. So whether it's something you're born with, whether it's something that you are born with, that you're just given at birth, it's just a gift that you have, or whether it's something that's imparted to you on the way, which we'll talk about a little bit. Every gift comes with a responsibility to know and understand what it is and what it's used for, okay? God has given every single one of us gifts, and our responsibility then is to not be ignorant of them, to understand what they are and what they're used for, okay? Now, if we approach it the wrong way, we'll miss it completely. And I love Christmas time, especially when it comes to opening presents. I'm a little bit older now, so I'm in my 30s. So when I get a gift, for some reason I don't approach it the same way as my sons do. You know, Judah was little and he still does. It's like he receives a present, and what do? Do kids sit down? Do they find out where the creases are and where the tape is, and do they peel it off little by little? Do they unfold that little corner piece and then they turn it over, unfold the other corner piece, unwrap it, take off the present, and then, like, nicely fold all the wrapping paper so that we can throw it away easily? No. What do they do? They just go after it. They rip it up, right? Just like a gift, just like when you receive a gift at Christmas or your birthday or Valentine's Day or whatever, okay? There is an excitement and there is a joy that you need to experience in discovering and unwrapping that gift. There has to be some joy and excitement. Just like a little child when he receives something. And you have to ask yourself those questions like, is this for me? When you see a present, is this for me? Right? What's going through your head when you're unwrapping the gift? What is it? What is it? Is it what I've always wanted? You know? Is there another one? You know, and they go crazy in unwrapping it and stuff. There has to be a sense of excitement and joy in unwrapping your gift. All right? Now, what is a gift? Well, first we know that a gift is to help us fulfill that calling in our life. But to take it a step further, a gift basically, and this is a general gift, a gift can help you do what a normal person does, but better. Okay? It's kind of like a talent. It's a little bit different. A gift can help you do what a normal person does better. Okay, so let me ask you a question. And this better not be up for debate. Okay? Who is the best basketball player of all time? Michael Jordan. I hope that's not up for debate here because I'm sorry, we're going to have some words. It's Michael Jordan. It will always be Michael Jordan. And the only reason I say that is because since Michael Jordan came onto the scene, there's been people of each generation, like Kobe Bryant and then LeBron James. Each generation has their one person that they like compare to Michael Jordan, right? But it's still been Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. Okay, I'm not going to go into detail about all the accolades and the awards that he's won, but they're numerous. So he's the best basketball player that's ever played in the National Basketball Association, okay? So he is gifted at playing basketball. That is his gift, and he's one of the best ones at it. Now, would you say that Michael Jordan has a gift of playing basketball, okay? Or would you say that he has many gifts that equate or that help him fulfill his ability to play basketball, right? See, it's not just him playing basketball. Michael Jordan is blessed with many gifts to help him play basketball, to help him with the ability to go out onto the court and to command the game as a leader, to be able to take those last second shots and make them, right? To be able to be down and yet overcome and become a champion. Okay, there are many gifts within Michael Jordan to help him do that. His gift is not his ability to play basketball. He has a gift that he was born with, which was what? His height. He couldn't change that. He was gift with height. But he also had gifts that he needed to cultivate. He had many gifts like his athleticism, like his ability to make a jump shot, like his ability to make or to grab a rebound, like his ability to defend an opposing player. All of those gifts put together is what makes Michael Jordan the greatest basketball player ever, okay? So what I want to say is that God has not only given you a gift, but God has given you many gifts. God has given you many gifts to help you fulfill what he's called you to do, and he won't leave us in the dark about it. God wants to show you what those are. But we have to be excited about it. And it's not trying to be excited, but it comes up from within us knowing that the God of the universe cares so much about me that he has deposited parts of himself inside of me, many parts of himself inside of me. And you know, so this is what, okay, let me continue. So this is what we're going to do. If you have a piece of paper, and this is going to be kind of tough for some people, I want you to write down one thing, listen to me, I want you to write down one thing that you do that is above average, okay? I want you to write one thing that you do or that you are, that you can do that is on an above average level. It's just one thing. I'm not asking you for five, three, just one. Just put down one thing that you can do on an above average level. Okay? Now, if you're here with somebody, if you've come with somebody, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to ask them, okay, to answer that question about you. I want you to ask them to answer that question about you. So, Mom, I want you to ask me, Mia, what do you think I am really good at? Yeah. Ask Mia. And I want you to ask the person that you come with to answer that question for you. Okay, I hope this isn't bringing up some issues with the married couples here. Okay? Because we'll come back to these later, all right? So look, this exercise, okay, everybody up here, this exercise is to help us start thinking about those things that we're good at. And you notice how tough it was to put down one thing that you're good at, to come up with one single thing, to recognize one single gift that you may have for yourself. It's a little bit easier when you ask the person next to you who lives with you, who sees you on a regular basis, and who automatically knows, oh, I know that person is good at that, you know? That person is awesome at this thing, okay? And for some reason, some of us will immediately recognize the gift that's within us and the one that we possess because you've already done the work and you've acknowledged it. You've been able to unwrap it at some point. And, or not only that, you are using it on a regular basis in some form or capacity. You're using that gift. You're using that talent. So you can immediately recognize it. But there's some of us here that still doubt that we even have one gift or one talent that we can claim as our own. And the Lord wants you to know this morning that He has placed in you many gifts, not just one, but countless, many, multiple gifts, okay? And I want you to leave here this morning knowing that and being confident in that. Because what will happen is that we can point to what others are doing. What we can do is look at somebody else excelling in an area of our life that we wish we were, okay? And it will fuel that doubt that there isn't anything special or unique about us because that person is doing something so well that I wish I could do. I wish I could play basketball like Michael Jordan, but I will never be able to play basketball like Michael Jordan. But I tell you what I can do. I can probably sing and lead worship better than Michael Jordan can. Isn't that right? Okay. So the reason many of us will doubt that we even have a gift, which I don't understand, but I mean, it's easy to fall into that trap, but let me just tell you this, okay? If the Lord has given you His most precious gift 2,000 years ago, the blood of His Son Jesus, if He's given you His most precious gift, why do we doubt that He's given you all the other gifts of the Spirit, okay? He's already proved Himself 2,000 years ago. And for many believers, a lot of it is like, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a sense that you have to be humble, okay? But let me tell you this. For many believers, timidity, being very timid or even fearful, can be passed off as humility, okay? Timidity and fear can be passed off as humility. But God isn't looking, even though God isn't looking for show-offs, even though God isn't looking for people to show off their gifts and look for the limelight, God is looking for men and women with a strong confidence because they know that their gifts are rooted in Him. They're rooted in Him. You can be confident in your gifts because you know that they come from God. Okay? How do I know that? I'm going to read from the Message Bible. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's down at verse 4, but it may look a little bit different than you. But I love the way the Message puts this. It says, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. So, you can know and you can be confident without any doubt that God has deposited His gifts inside of you, okay? So, The problem we're faced with now is like, okay, Steve, I believe you. God's given me gifts, but I can't see him. I don't know what they are. It's very hard for me to admit that because when I look at my life, it seems like it's just failure after failure after failure. I try something that I think I'm good at, but I end up failing at it. So I can't see what those gifts are, all right? Now, going back to Michael Jordan, here's a little known story. When he was in high school, and I thought it was different, but it ended up being, when he was in high school, he was going out for the varsity basketball team, okay? And thinking that his free throws, that his jump shots, that his speed, that his athleticism and his agility were good enough to get him on the varsity basketball team, what do you think happened? He didn't make it. Michael Jordan did not make the varsity basketball team. You know, and he's like 14 or 15 years old. Okay? How disappointing that he did not make or that he did not fulfill his goal and his dream of being a varsity basketball player. All right? Now, what does that tell us? Well, if we were to look at Michael Jordan at 14 or 15 years old, would you say that he was not gifted at basketball? Would you say that he is not a champion? Okay, you see how we look at ourselves is very wrapped into how we view ourselves in time. Okay, we look at ourselves at how we are right now. But the Lord, when he sees you from the beginning to the end. Okay, the Lord is the author and the finisher. There's something about God that isn't, he's just not worried about what you are right now, but he sees you what you are in the future. He sees what you are becoming, and he sees what you are and what you want to be in him when your time has come. So we were to look at Michael Jordan, the coach did, and he says, you are not good enough to be on the varsity basketball team. But if God were to call out Michael Jordan, he would say, no, Michael Jordan, you are a champion. You are an all-star. You are an overcomer. You will be victorious in this game. And at the end, people will remember you. You will be a legend. Okay? And that is what he is. And that's what God wants to show us this morning. That even though you don't see it right now, even though it seems like the gifts just seem hidden and I can't see it. No, God wants to proclaim over you that you are an overcomer, that you are a champion, that those gifts will propel you forward, that they will bring you before kings and paupers, that they will bring you before your calling and your destiny. And it's all because we rely on him and his spirit. Because God sees you from the beginning and all the way to the end. All right. Now, what are those gifts used for? Okay? And I want to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read from the Message translation again. And it continues right after it says that God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. And it continues and says, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Each person is given something to do to show who God is. So the gift is going to help you fulfill the calling on your life because the gifts of God are tools in ways in which God can display his miraculous power and give the world a glimpse of who he is, okay? Your gifts are the way God can show the world his love, his mercy, his power, his miracles, his healing. All of that stuff is wrapped up and hinges on us finding out what our gifts are, and I'll tell you how that works. Now, there are several gifts. Now, we talked about kind of these natural gifts that we can see, right? We talked about these gifts like Michael Jordan. It may be playing basketball. For you, it may be maybe you're a great singer. Maybe you are really good at administration. Maybe you are just an awesome planner. I tell you what, my sister-in-law is just like, she's like probably the best planner I've ever known, okay? She can plan, she's got planners, and it's like they're all, anyway. You have a gift, all right? Now, those are all those natural gifts. Now, the scriptures, they describe, and Paul specifically lists out a group of gifts in the book of Romans in chapter 12, if you want to write that down. And in this chapter, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And I'm just gonna throw them out there, okay? Maybe you guys can okay. It's the gift of prophecy, and we've heard these before. The gift of serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. And in Corinthians it says, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing and miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues and interpretation of tongues, right? There's a bunch. There are a bunch of spiritual gifts that Paul lists out. Now, what that tells me, and don't, you know, this isn't, I don't want this to be, a doctrinal truth here, but a lot of us will look at that list, and there's a ton, because he gave a whole bunch here and a whole bunch here. I'm going to bet that there's probably a lot more, okay? If there are some listed in Romans that he gave to the Romans, there's some listed in Corinthians that he specifically gave to the Corinthians, I'm going to guess that there are probably a ton more of spiritual gifts out there, okay? And for us, the responsibility is to try and recognize what those are. Now, all of those gifts are what and this is just a little Bible study here. All of those gifts are what we refer to as charisma gifts, okay? They are charisma gifts. And those gifts are given without repentance, what Paul says in the scriptures. When God gives you those, they're yours, okay? But just like Michael Jordan had a gift, and it wasn't good enough to be on the basketball team, what did he do after that? He had to train. He had to keep training and cultivate those gifts that were in him. He had to become a better shot, a better jump shooter. He had to become a better athlete. He had to get faster. He had to get stronger. All right? Those gifts that he was given had to be cultivated. And those gifts were not fully manifested until he began using them. They did not become fully manifested until he began using them. All right? Now, some of us know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God has spoken a word to you for you to gift somebody. And you probably, like me, have ignored it or chosen not to look like a fool in giving it to that person. If you're a believer here and you grew up in church, and how many times I've seen somebody and I've been praying over somebody and I'm supposed to tell this person this, but it's, I don't know how they're going to receive it. And then all of a sudden some doubt and some fear started creeping in and I didn't use it. And I didn't give them, because God gave me something and I chose not to give it out to them. All right. What we need to do is begin using those gifts and begin cultivating them and begin allowing the Lord to strengthen those gifts and to enable those gifts and to start using those gifts for his glory. Excuse me. Man, I don't know if you guys noticed, last week I was coughing a lot. I've had this sinus infection that I'm praying the Lord's going to heal me very soon here. It's been going down, believe me, but I do not like to take medicine, so Giselle can tell you that. Time is at 11:33. I got time. All right. So how do the gifts work? How are our gifts going to display God's majesty, God's glory, God's power, God's love and his mercy to the world that we live in, to a world that seems like is coming more and more against or more and more closed off to that kind of message, a world that seems like it's closing itself off from the offer of free salvation, an offer of free and abundant life through Christ Jesus. All right, so this is how it works. And this is a really simple way to look at it because we don't know all the details. But when it comes to the supernatural, all right, so we live in a natural world. And in the natural world, by nature, okay, we have ways in ways we perceive the natural world. There have to be things that we can see or hear, or smell, or taste, or touch. This is how we perceive our natural world. All of those things have to fall in one of those categories, all right? Now, the way the supernatural world works is that there are things that are going on in the supernatural world that we can't feel or see or taste or touch. Sometimes we can. And those times happen because somebody is using a gift that God has given him. All right? So the gifts are tools or conduits. That's a cool word. The gifts are conduits of God's supernatural blessing into the natural world that we live in. Okay, let me say that again. Your gift is a conduit of God's supernatural blessing into the natural world that we live in. Now, we don't know exactly what the supernatural world looks like because we can't know right now. But the scriptures promise us that all things will be made known to us one day. But right now, I doubt there's anybody here who can fully describe what the supernatural world looks like, right? But when we think of that, what are some words that come to your mind? Unicorns? Okay. Could be. I think they're real, actually. Me personally, they're actually here. Angels? Okay. What are some other words that you think of when you think of supernatural? Healing, okay, that's a good one. Anybody else? Dreams, visions, what else? Prophecy, what else? Huh? Okay, what about joy? Yeah, what about peace? Right? All right, now, in order for this stuff in the supernatural world, God's supernatural blessings, to enter into the natural world that people can see and touch and taste and feel and smell, okay? He needs to find a gift. If somebody is desperately looking for encouragement because their business has just toppled and they have no hope for their financial future because they put everything in it, okay? God wants to send them a word of encouragement, but he's looking for somebody with that gift. And that is how this person will receive God's supernatural words of encouragement, right? What if somebody needs healing in their bodies, which is what we're going to talk about every first Wednesday of every month this year, which I hope you guys will make time to come to. If somebody needs healing healing in the natural, and God wants to give them healing in the supernatural, it must flow through a gift of healing and miracles. So what does that mean? If you have that gift, it's not just so that way you can feel like you have found your calling or you have finally fulfilled your calling in life and somehow you do have a sense of satisfaction. This person over here is depending on you. This person over here is counting on you to surrender that gift to God to be able to use it to bring about those supernatural blessings, to touch the world and impact the world around you. There are people depending on it. There are lives depending on it. This world is depending on you using your gifts. Because he wants you to walk in your calling. He wants you to use your gifts. And he wants you to receive his anointing that will enable you to do things that you can never imagine. Amen? All right, let's just pray together. Lord,